Welcome to Circulus, our homebrew D&D campaign setting. I have realized that I am a horrible person, and I should feel bad, but I don't. And I'll be your DM for this evening. I'm Crash. But with me are a bunch of other people who are probably a lot cooler than I am, including Tom. Tom, who are you playing this evening?
I'm definitely cooler than you. I am Pankarum Darkstone, the gnome barbarian.
We also have Chris / Akari. Chris, who are you playing?
I'm playing Vexaron Silvar, the half-elf ranger.
We also have Matt. Matt, who are you playing?
I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, human wizard, and the jury is still out on whether or not I am cooler than you.
Well, you are a father, and therefore I think you automatically lose cool points. Unless you like
Indubitably.
Puns.
Oh, I love puns.
Okay. Dad jokes give you +5 cool points, I think.
Yay!
I'm up at 12:30 in the morning playing D&D. Everyone's cooler than me.
Good point.
And we also have Jen. Jen, who are you playing?
I am playing Meepo Chipclaw, a kobold sorcerer, and I am definitely not cooler than you today because California is having a heat wave and breaking records.
And the pollen is trying to destroy all that you love.
Oh, yeah. That's it's pretty bad today, and it's heading to get worse soon. But right now I have a voice, so I'm here.
Yay!
Yay.
We also have Logan. Logan, who are you playing?
Hello, I'm playing Fenix Generalis II. I am a Dragonborn Paladin, and I am obviously cooler than everyone in this place.
Let's pick a game called Teenager.
To my wagon stash.
Yeah. Says the teenager who's home on Saturday night playing D&D with old guys.
But and his dad, who...
Yeah.
I'm younger.
Who are you playing?
I'm playing... Obey Metalcaster. I'm a dwarf cleric, and I'm the coolest because I'm spending time with my son playing D&D and eating caramel ice cream.
No, that makes you the worst.
I'm eating Doritos.
Baby.
And I have coffee, which makes me better than everyone. But in any case, several of us have online presences. I'll post that stuff in the show notes. Let's get into just a little more errata before we get started with the session this evening. I have made some changes to how things are set up. Because we are streaming on Twitch, which I think is really fun, there is a little Streamlabs overlay that's built in that allows you to earn XP, not for your characters. This is for Streamlabs, but if you earn 50 XP, you can redeem those in the little overlay thing to give inspiration to anyone in this session that doesn't have inspiration. You could give it to yourself if you wish. If you are observing this and you are not an actual player, you could give it to whichever player you want to give inspiration to. If you want to be that kind of horrible person and give it to the DM, you can give inspiration to the DM. And we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, that will encourage players to actually use their inspiration. Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge.
I didn't know there was expiration dates on those.
There is no expiration date, but...
He just wants to worry about them being used.
Most people just hold on. Wants to give us more.
I want to squirrel it away.
You can't have more than one is the problem.
Yeah, it doesn't stack. So you are encouraged to use it. Oh, and if you do anything that I have to edit out later, you lose your inspiration and get a little square jar icon next to your character portrait. So there's that too.
That's why I want to build up the credit.
Way to go, Ari.
Well, in our last session, the party did finally make it home-ish. Your base of operations is apparently in Coomeridge Keep, in the wonderful... mostly destroyed country of Coomeridge, but oh well. And you have roughly one day more, if you will, before Fiddle Punch is able to teleport you to a location where the second of these elemental foci is, and collecting all of these would theoretically allow those of you from Faerun who wish to return to Faerun to go home. Naturally, Vex is 100% behind this idea. With that one additional day, I posted in Discord a little while ago, what are you going to spend your time doing? So let's start with Ari. Ari, what do you spend your final day doing before you head out to adventure again?
Well, as I mentioned, I will be scribing some of the scrolls from that dead wizard spellbook. He's got a couple that I can find handy. And I'm going to be spending a lot of the money that I've acquired to do that, since it's about 50 gold a page, and he's got a couple of good third and second levels that I can take. The fourth and fifth will probably have to wait till I have more money.
Okay. And other than that, your day is actually fairly uneventful. Meepo, how does Meepo spend her day?
Okay, well, Meepo was going to follow around Mr. Ari, but he's just writing stuff, so that's not a lot of fun. And
no,
so she's she's already bored, so she's going to go find rocks for her slingshot and start playing with prestidigitation and making things more colorful.
Why do I have the feeling the phrase, in my defense, I was left unsupervised, will be coming around?
I kid you not, my dad has that on a t-shirt.
And the best part is, it's going to be Punk that says it.
Well, in Meepo's case, you do have a very eventful day because you run into a little girl, a little human girl who's about 6 years old. So she's 2 years older than you, and she is very keen to point this out. Her name is Ellie Idris. She is the daughter of Lord Ardent Idris. And she is actually starting to show some skill as a sorcerer as well. So you're sorcerer buddies.
And yay!
You go on a bit of a rampage of using prestidigitation to color the entire keep various rainbow colors. There is a daring heist that you attempt involving several of your spells that both of you know, mostly cantrips, where you raid the kitchen and try to get some cookies right before supper. But otherwise, you have a grand old time doing that. Obame, how do you spend your day?
My day will be spent praying, doing random blessings, and helping anyone who needs help around town with anything that has to do with religious aspects of whatever.
Make sure you carry your crossbow to deliver long-range blessings.
No, I just radiate everybody that happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guiding bolt.
And in all actuality, the temple that you helped found in Coomridge, a new temple to the god Ilmater, I did pronounce his name right, right?
You did.
Okay. This is what happens when you learn everything from reading books. You don't know how to pronounce anything.
They don't have a how to say it thing like a dictionary does. It's just whatever the word is.
Yeah. Someday I will know how to pronounce Bahamut or Bahamut or Bahamut.
Bahamut.
Or whatever. Eventually. But in any case, at this point, you are the highest ranking cleric in the entire kingdom in regards to level. So your congregation seeks you out and you spend a lot of time talking theology with a whole bunch of the lower level clergy. And a good time is had by all.
Declare yourself Pope.
On that note, Punk, I'm really afraid to ask this question.
Oh, well,
how do you spend your day?
Vex and I are considering buying a farm. We're going to look at some land, and we want to build a for the group.
Okay. Well, there is some property that is available. If you're willing to do a bit of a hike to get a bit further out of town, a bit closer to the woods.
Remote is always better.
there is a farm that you can purchase where there is a next of kin that inherited it, but the family that lived there was killed early on in the conflict that happened this past winter. Yeah. Based on how much land is worth and the various assets that they would not be taking with them, that they'd be giving to you, you can get it for about 1,000 gold.
I think I'm down. What do you think?
Yeah, let's hand the money together. How much you got?
I don't know. I have to look. I'm sure I could acquire more.
Well, the Gooch was able to shake some people down.
Good.
Your second in command, the third grader.
Yes.
Oh, you got it as your second in command. She was able to shake some people down.
She's what did I miss?
Oh, I'm building my crime syndicate.
Yes.
I love you.
She brings you 25 gold and a shovel.
All right. I give her...
And says she got it from some strange religious people.
Oh, no.
Even better. That's the next biggest scam around. I'm giving... I'm gonna give her 5 gold back as a bonus for her efforts and tell her, you know, she's done a great job and keep it up.
And if I remember correctly, you also help her with her math homework.
I do.
Yes. If you collect 5 gold protection money from 25 businesses and you owe 95% of that to the higher ups, how much money do you have available?
I tell her, 5 gold more than she had before. Don't bother me, kid.
Look, that's not one of the multiple choice answers for this.
No. You're in the school of hard knocks now. But no, yeah. But she, the Gooch has done a good job. And hopefully in time we might have a place they can use as a clubhouse.
By the way, I'm deliberately not describing this character other than she's in third grade because I really want everyone's imagination to have something totally different.
do you remember the show Hey Arnold?
Yeah, I love that show.
I'm picturing Helga.
That's what I was picturing.
Big, tall, gangly with the kind of the buck teeth and the big pigtails that stick out to the side. So, yeah.
Or conversely, possibly the sweetest child you have ever seen in your life.
That's true. That probably
who's just not afraid to break your kneecaps.
Like Shirley Temple, but with like brass knuckles.
So like Shirley Temple.
Okay, this is making me more and more uncomfortable, but...
you asked what Punk wanted to do.
Okay, so Vex, part of your day, I believe, is spent scouting out a farm. Is there anything else that you do?
Once we scout out the farm and pay for it, which we will talk about in a minute, Vex goes to the nearby woods of the farm, because you said we were close to the forest for that farm, yes. And just has a relaxing day with the pup.
Okay. You actually recognize these woods because you traveled through these to get to the goblin cave that you cleared out early on in this campaign.
Oh, question. Do I see that other wolf anywhere while I'm around?
Oh, that's a very good question. Give me a survival check.
21.
You see signs of a wolf. And you've only ever encountered one wolf besides Shepherd in Coomeridge.
So he's still around. That's good.
Yes.
That's good. That makes me feel good.
Gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, kinda.
And then you realize it's Shepherd. Who's looking in your face. But never mind about that. Fenix, I have some bad news. The priests of the congregation of Bahamut that you have inadvertently founded come to you and let you know that they have been robbed. They were able to hide some of the money that they were given during the last session. They were given 50 gold by Obain. But they lost 25 gold of that 50. They have 24 left because they just spent 1 gold on a shovel. And there's one member of the congregation that's actually very upset that he doesn't have a shovel and he has to go back to using a plank.
You got to hire better security.
Well.
Fred, you should hire any security.
When you ask them what the criminals look like, none of them want to talk about it. What do you spend your day doing?
Plotting my revenge.
Okay, no, you don't know who you're plotting it against, but oh, they're going to get theirs. That's how you all spend your day. Next morning, after a nice breakfast, you head back to Marwood's Tower, although technically you all guess it's Fiddlepunch's Tower now, because Marwood has not been seen since the Siege of Coomridge during the wintertime. And he has a teleportation circle set up for you with... it's a teleportation circle in name, but it appears to mostly be made out of machinery, which is a little off-putting. But he is doing something that is higher level magic than any of you would be able to do. So if he's augmenting it somehow to be able to do it, and it's going to help Vex get home, you know, this is what you just have to do. He does point out that he has already tested this. He set his the little flying beetle that he uses. Little's an odd word to use. It's the size of a human head. But he did send that over, and then it used its teleportation circle ability to bring itself back. And it wasn't injured in any way. So he assumes that the destination he's going to send you to is not something like, you know, 100 feet in the air or... in the middle of a solid mountain wall or something.
We're going to die.
And that's going to be one of our Twitch clips after we're done with this session, I'm sure.
Have at it, little man.
He directs you all to stand in the circle that is carved out of this big pile of machinery. It all seems to fit together, but it's gnomish technology. So some things look bolted on. You're not quite sure why some gears that aren't attached to anything else are spinning. Fiddlepunch hands Meepo his messenger beetle and says,
"Okay, now let this go when you get there. It'll find a safe place to hide. And then when you're done and ready to come home, whistle and it'll come find you and it'll teleport you back here."
What's a whistle?
He demonstrates how to whistle. I can't do it right now.
Oh, okay. I can try to learn to whistle.
I'm sure one of your companions would also be able to do it.
Okay, give me the beetle.
Okay. Well, he's already handed you the beetle.
Oh, good. Okay, she's holding on to the beetle very carefully.
It's like one-third your size.
Yeah, she's like trying to sort of hug it.
It's like a giant metal stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not struggling this time. It's just sort of just sitting there. Okay.
It's a lot easier.
There is a bright flash of light, and you are in a much colder environment. Now, you kind of suspected it would be because this is an area that's much further south, and Circulus as a continent is in the southern hemisphere of the planet on which it's located. So you're much closer to the Antarctic Circle. There's some sparse trees around you. There's some shadowy areas where you still see a little bit of snow that hasn't melted yet. Before you stands a giant tower crafted out of dark volcanic rock and embedded partway into the sheer wall of a mountain. The structure is mostly featureless except for a giant skull at the top carved from the same rock that makes up the tower's walls. Thin rivulets of lava drip out of the eyes and mouth of the skull into a trough directly below it. Winged creatures that you now recognize as mephits perch around the skull and flutter about. Some look down on you with interest, but do not attempt to engage. At the base of this tower, a set of wooden doors banded with iron are slightly recessed into the wall. Imposing armored figures are posted on either side of the doors, though one appears to be kneeling, and this is about 100 feet away from you.
Where are we?
I feel like you sent us to one of the Seven Rings of Hell.
Should I let go of the beetle now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, there you go, beetle.
Okay, the beetle flies off and quickly goes out straight around a hill.
I reiterate, we're going to die.
Is the beetle supposed to leave?
Yes.
Yeah, he's supposed to hide. I don't know why, but he's hiding.
Perhaps he'll die.
Get swallowed a fly.
Right. How many Mephits are flying around, did you say?
Just several. They are very far away. You can tell that they're Mephits from a distance, but they're not coming down to you, and some of them have noticed you, but they don't seem to care.
Do we see, like, an entrance to this thing?
Yeah. There's a large set of double doors about 100 feet away from you at the base of this tower. There's two imposing armored figures that are stationed outside this door, one on either side. One of them standing and facing you. The other one appears to be kneeling and doing something on the ground.
Here's an idea. Rather than doing what we usually do and just go in guns blazing, should we try talking?
Double idea.
Depends if Ponk is the one that's talking.
I say Ponk doesn't talk.
Ponk says Ponk wants to talk, my friend.
And I reiterate, we're going to die.
All right.
So that's the only entrance we see, and these are the only other people we see, correct?
Yes. Now, if you've got your flight spell prepared, and you have some way of surviving flying through lava, you could probably go in through the mouth or eye holes of this skull top.
We'll pass on the lava. We'll pass on the lava shower. Thanks.
Who's the strongest could throw Meepo up there?
We're not throwing Meepo into the lava.
You guys are no fun.
Throw you into the lava.
I would do that.
No one is getting thrown into the lava.
Not some paladin. What do you say?
The skull is high enough up that you would not be able to throw him that far.
Rope that would reach up that far?
You would need some type of catapult or trebuchet made out of wagons.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. No wagons. No.
The lava kind of ruins that whole thing to me.
Yeah.
So
the front right. door it is?
Yeah, not politely? Let's see if these guys even stop us.
Use your silver tongue, honey.
I'm not bad at social skills. I'm not the best.
Yeah, I'm not very diplomatic.
Is there any cover between us and the front door?
Between you and the front door? Not really. Behind you? Yes. The beetle is making use of some of it. And the cover is about another 100 feet away from you.
Darn.
Now, there's some very thin trees, but it you'd be like one of those cartoon characters where they go and hide behind a tree that's like 3 inches wide, but the character is 2 feet wide, and they just disappear. If you can do that, you're fine.
So, like, half cover?
I can try stealth. I can try to stealth up to the door.
So, like, half cover?
I wouldn't even call it half cover. No.
I know. I was kidding. Okay, never mind them. I was thinking things.
I think our options are option. It's clear. We have one way in.
Go talk, honey.
I can try stealthing up to the door.
Let's try talking for like the first time ever, because we don't usually talk.
Okay, we'll stand in the back of the arm. I'll just stand in the back and watch.
Have your axe ready, though.
Ari will begin to walk towards the set of double doors.
Okay.
I would like to keep a 30-foot distance on Ari, but keep that pace.
Meepo wants to go with.
Meepo can come with.
Yay!
I'll follow behind just to make sure that they have cover.
As you approach, you realize that the armored figure now both of these figures are huge. In D&D terms, they would be considered large class in regards to their size. The one that is kneeling is apparently petting a squirrel. But when he sees you coming and the squirrel notices you coming, the squirrel runs off and that guard returns to its post.
Not what I expect.
Ari basically is going to try to maintain a demeanor of, if you act like you know what you're doing, they may not bother you.
Take it till you make it.
Would that be a streetwise role?
He's basically, unless they address him, he's going to walk right up to the door.
# swagger.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as you're walking up to the door, you Give me a perception check.
Me?
Yes.
Or both of us?
Well, everyone who's approaching the door.
Okay. All right, so I rolled a 19.
Oh, yeah, you definitely notice.
Okay.
That is no good.
15.
Do I fall on my face?
11.
A 10 is an acceptable roll for noticing this.
I
as
11.
You approach, it becomes more and more obvious. From 100 feet away, you wouldn't notice. But these suits of armor, there's no one in the suits of armor. They are filled with fire.
Oh.
Fireman.
Oh, yes.
And as you approach the door, one of them, the one that was not petting the squirrel, says, "Hold up. Can't let you in."
Why?
It's our job. We're not supposed to let people in.
Hey,
but how come?
Punk wants to take a step forward and ask a question to them. Hey, we're from the catering company, man. We're supposed to set up for the party.
Catering? Ross?
Yeah.
Ross, did you hear anything about catering? No, Jackson, I didn't hear anything about catering. All right.
Well, it's a surprise party.
You're not on the list. Sorry.
Dude, we came all the way out here for to cater a party, and now you're telling us we're not getting in? What's the whole point of us coming out of here?
I mean, you know, Mary from accounting lets me know this is party. You know, she gives me the invoice number and all that and tells us it's all
there
paid for.
There is no Mary in accounting.
Oh, from the home office?
No, not anymore. They merged accounting with human resources, and they downsized. There's no Mary. There never was a Mary in accounting anyway. But in any case, there is no Mary. There's no accounting. It's just human resources.
We're going to have a whole wagon full of food here, man. What are we supposed to do with all this? And, you know, and somebody's got to pay for it, man. Well, I didn't bring it yet. I ain't going to bring it up until we got the doors open, man.
Ross chimes in. Is it possible you got the wrong address? There is another tower with a skull on top of it about 50 miles that way. They get confused a lot. This one's got lava, but the other one doesn't.
It's no, they were very
mistake.
Specific with the lava.
Look for the lava, man, you know, but all right, man, somebody's going to be really mad when, you know, they don't get their party and their food and, you know, and they're going to tell them, you know, well, some guard wouldn't let us in, you know.
That
whatever,
fine,
man.
But if Fred doesn't tell us to let someone in, we're not supposed to let them.
Oh, it was Fred. Yeah, I mean, it was Fred. You know, he's the guy with the red sideburn, kind of a close talker, kind of gets, you know, he needs a breath mint, kind of talks to you a little too close, you know.
You're not describing Fred at all.
All right, well, then I guess we'll just take all this food back.
Fine by us. We don't eat anyway.
Now we kill them.
All right, this isn't working. Take out the bowl.
And they don't like free food.
Well, they don't eat.
I was about to have an arrow in it.
Unless someone knows something with ice that might help.
I think at this point, it's time to roll for initiative.
All right.
I've got a few spells they're not going to like.
I think I have this set up properly so that it will add your modifier for initiative. So I'm just going to ask you to give me the number on the die.
Again, natural.
Ari.
13.
Fenix.
Natural 20.
Nice.
Awesome.
First one in 10 sessions.
What is Meepo's initiative?
5.
Obame.
A 5.
Punk.
17.
Shepherd.
12 for Shepherd.
And Vex.
19 for Vex.
Okay, we have a return to normalcy. Vex is going first.
In fairness, for like 3 episodes, wasn't a thing. Okay, so I'm 30 feet behind Ari. How close am I to them?
Well, I assumed that everyone was walking right up to them, so yeah. Ari's within striking distance of them.
Yeah, Ari's probably within 5 feet of them.
Ari's regretting his life choices at this point.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, there's worse things than these guys.
Can I Hunter's Mark the one that's closest to Ari?
Jackson or Ross? They're equidistant.
It was Jackson that was being mean to us, wasn't it?
technically neither one is being particularly nice to you, but Ross seems the more amenable one.
Okay.
He's Jax. The one who's petting a squirrel.
Okay. Yeah, be nice to the squirrel guy. Oh, Hunter's Mark Jackson.
Yeah, he dies last.
Yeah. And I will take two shots into him. So, first is a 18.
That'll hit.
Okay. 12 points of piercing damage. Second is like a 22.
Yeah, that'll hit.
And, oh, that's even more damage. 16 points of piercing damage for the second.
Okay. Your arrows aren't doing as much damage as you think they should.
I figured they wouldn't be. The elementals.
It is resistant to non-magical damage.
Mm-hmm. Give me a magic bow.
Fennec. These things are resistant to non-magical damage. Do you have a solution to this problem?
Well, they're fire, and I'm basically shooting fire at them, so that wouldn't work either.
You do have a magical weapon, I think.
Oh, well, I'm going to hit them with my sword.
Yep, your +2 longsword might actually be able to do something more severe to them. Which one are you going to attack?
Ross, 24?
That's a hit. Roll me some damage.
14 damage. I always get 14 damage, it's literally...
Well, it'll take all 14 of that damage because it's not resistant to magical stuff. Punk.
In an angry rage, going to swing at Jackson's legs.
Okay.
With the can opener. 22.
That's a hit.
First attack, 9 points of damage. And I'm going to swing at him again. 13, that does not hit.
Nope, that does not hit.
Alright.
Shepherd's turn.
He's going to go for the Hunter's Marked one. With a bite. That's a lot. 21 a hat.
Yeah, that'll hit. What amuses me is the stats for this, it listed as natural armor. Because they're made of armor.
12 points of piercing damage and a DC 12 strength saving throw.
Yeah, it's fine.
I figured. And he's just going to kind of stay near Punk.
Okay. That's it. So Shepherd latches on to Jackson's arm and he sort of just holds his arm up with Shepherd hanging off and goes, "Sir, could you control your dog, please?"
I am going to cast Mage Armor.
A wise decision.
If I move away, they'll take opportunity actions. I don't really want to provoke those, so I'm going to stay right here for the moment.
Okay. Well, it's Jackson's turn. He draws his longsword, which also appears to be made of fire, and swings it at the small angry gnome.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt that for a moment. I'm going to make his attack roll be a 4 with my diviner ability.
All right. Then he misses. He's like, "What the?" It's Ross's turn. And he says, "You try to be nice to a group of adventurers, and this is what you get." He draws his long sword and goes after Fenix, who's been attacking him. And that is a crit.
Oh.
You take 18 points of slashing damage and 9 fire damage.
He has a resist.
Okay, then he takes 4 fire damage.
About 26 health.
Obame, your turn.
All right, let me save some people. Let me do a level 3 cure wounds on Fenix. Standby. 19.
I'm missing about 3. I have -3 on my health only.
All right.
45.
Meepo, your turn.
Okay. Meepo is pouting because she wanted to cast friends on the guy that was playing with the squirrel, and now that's not going to work. So, instead...
That's so much joy.
Yeah, well, she was going to also try to, like, why him to death, like little kids do. But why? But why? And then y'all just started going. So,
see, this is why we can't have nice things.
Uh-huh. Yes. So she's kind of pouting over here, like, this is not what I wanted to do.
I tried diplomacy.
Yeah. Okay, so instead, she's going to cast Magic Missile at whichever one of these guys does not have Shepard hanging off his arm.
That would be Ross.
That one. 1d4?
Right? 3d4.
3, okay.
And all add right, 1 to each roll. So or you okay. can just do 3d4 plus 3.
Okay, I got a 3. And a 3.
That's 8 total.
And a 2.
Okay, so that is 11 points damage.
Okay.
Okay, Vex, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm going to run up with a scimitar. Because...
That's magic.
Exactly.
Who has the other one? Didn't we have two?
Ponk's got the other one.
Ponk's got the other one.
Okay.
You gave it to him, actually.
And I'm going to take two swings.
Oh, he still has it, yeah.
That's a +7 to that, so 19 to hit?
Yep, that's a hit.
10 points of slashing damage from a magical weapon. Second attack.
He's bloody.
Oh, and Shepard also gets an attack from that as well, but I'll do this one first. That's 19 +7, so 26. And that's 14 points of slashing damage. Shepard gets advantage because everyone's around on me.
You have the
natural 20.
Your animal gets your attack on your turn.
Shepard rips him in two. I got a 15 and a natural 20.
No, that's actually part of this creature's stat.
Defense mechanism.
On a natural 20, they fall apart.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, so if you crit against them, they crumble.
Like methods, do they explode with damage?
Let me check.
Why would you get
it
them
doesn't,
to...
It doesn't say so I'm going to say it doesn't.
Okay.
So Jackson's armor falls to pieces. The flame sort of just like goes into the helmet. He goes, now that wasn't very nice of you.
So sorry, Mr. Jackson.
Really?
You should be. Do you have any idea how hard it is to put me back together again?
I am for real.
I'm going to attack the only one alive. 21.
How much damage are you doing?
13.
Okay, he's bloodied.
I roll low attack rolls.
Punk, it's your turn.
So it's Ross is the one who's still up, and he's bloodied.
He is.
I'm going to jump up in the air and try to smash his head in with the can opener. And then with my second attack, try to hit him with the scimitar.
Okay.
So first one is a 26, and that would be a natural 20.
He falls into pieces. As you hit him with the can opener, right on top of his head goes right through his chest cavity, and the legs fall out to either side. And the chest piece just comes straight down. The head is still hanging out inside the chest cavity. He's like, oh, wow. It echoes in here. Echo.
So Ross.
Again.
You going to give me a key to get in this place, or do I got to keep beating you up?
Look, just look at the door.
All right. I kick him over to the side, and we just make our way towards the door.
Whee!
Sorry, Bob.
No hard feelings.
All right, go up to the door. What's it look like? You need to kind of describe it.
It is a sturdy wooden door, banded in iron. There are a couple iron rings, one on each double door, and there doesn't appear to be any locking mechanism or anything.
I'm just going to tap it real gently with the can opener.
Knock.
Is it high enough? Is the ring high enough or low enough for Punk to be able to reach it?
You can reach up, but you can reach it.
All right, someone of normal height, want to try opening the door for us?
Open the door.
All right.
All right, we'll also help open the door. We got there with Vex.
All right.
God damn, okay. Little people.
You pull the doors open. They open outward, not inward. This room is lit by torches, but the torches are not giving off any smoke. Ari assumes, because of his high arcana that I'm not going to make him roll for, that the torches are actually illusory in nature. They're still giving off light. They're made to look like torches, but you probably wouldn't burn yourself on them. This large 50-foot diameter cylindrical room is mostly empty, except for a closed door directly opposite from the entrance, and a significant number of 3-foot-tall iron spikes placed irregularly around the entire floor. As you enter, a man appears before you. His crimson robes fit tightly around his chest, defining a significant amount of muscle. His slick, dark hair and thin mustache resemble the look of Gomez Adams. In his right hand, he holds a staff topped with an obsidian skull that seems to give off a faint aura.
Fools! Sorry. Fools! You have foolishly entered the lair of Fred the Merciless. Cower before my immense power.
Fred pauses, as if for dramatic effect.
Ah, I see you think you are made of sterner stuff. No matter. You will find out soon enough that my power is impossible to beat. My tower is impregnable, filled with traps and minions far stronger than any you have dared face before. Seek me on the topmost level, if you dare, though none have managed to reach me there. You would be foolish to try, but as I've already established that you are fools, for who but a fool would dare to oppose me, I look forward to seeing how far you get. Break a leg! Oh, I slay me.
Fred wipes away a single imaginary tear and then vanishes.
Poser.
I was going to say, can I try to sneak behind him while he's monologuing?
I was going to say, can I just shoot an arrow at him while he's monologuing?
whatever actions you attempt, you go ahead and tell me whatever you try to do, but he was an illusion. So whatever you do, okay. Go through.
Okay, well, never mind.
Yeah. The torches were my first clue. This was programmed.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
It came on as we opened the door.
That'd be funny if Vex and I use Dragon Breath and Vex uses his bow.
Vex doesn't have spells. What are you talking about? Well, I'm a ranger.
Right. Did you say there was a set of stairs in there or something?
No, there were. I heard iron spikes.
Yeah, there's iron spikes. There are 3-foot-tall, spread throughout the entire room. They're all pointing up.
Okay.
And there is one door on the far end of this room.
It's across to the floor, but I guess looking out for some kind of traps or things like that.
Yeah.
Investigation check for traps.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well, give me a roll.
15.
You do not see any traps.
I got a 3.
Other than the 3-foot-tall iron spikes. Those might be a trap, sure. But they don't move at all. There's nothing attached
to
them.
Well, see, actually, to me, that's not true. Could be higher up, and something would fall onto those spikes.
You do find, attached to one spike, there is a skeleton. Most of its outfit appears to have deteriorated over time, but it appears to be still clutching a great axe, and it's wearing a pair of gauntlets that do not appear to have deteriorated at all. But the gauntlets or the is trash.
Yeah. The gauntlets or the axe or both?
Both of those appear to be fine, but the rest of it is
the gauntlets and the axe. Okay.
I'm interested in getting those. Is there a way to kind of knock him off that perch or something? Like throw something?
Oh, he's on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, great! All right.
I could mage hand some of that stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Now, so keep in mind, the Great Axe is a large enough weapon that...
Yeah, mage hand probably won't lift it. The gauntlets are probably safe, though.
Yeah.
Additionally, Punk, if you want the Great Axe, you may have it. I mean, this is D&D. You can try whatever you want to do. But it's large enough that while you are strong enough to wield it, you would be wielding it with disadvantage. It's not the weight. It's the size ratio.
Yeah.
I might take Punk to the Gooch. Who knows?
Oh my god, a third grader wielding a great axe. This is going to be great.
But the gauntlets I'm definitely interested in. So.
Ari got a 16 on his investigation check.
You do not see any traps.
Okay.
And Meepo got a 3. She sees nothing at all.
You see some iron spikes and some shiny gauntlets.
All right.
So Ari will attempt to mage hand the gauntlets first.
Okay.
So they're probably light enough. He knows he can get those off the skeleton.
You bring the gauntlets over. They also include the hands and forearms of the skeleton.
Okay.
But you do have the gauntlets. You could, wanted to, hold them by the elbows, and it's sort of like a puppet thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Definitely.
I'll let Punk decide what he wants to do with those.
Punk will take all that stuff, and he wants to open up the portal thingy.
Okay. Portable hole.
Yeah, the portable hole. And
there's plenty of wall space in here for that.
And then he'll just throw the gauntlets and the arms in there, and then throw the great axe in there.
You're aim not for the very chicken. Sure, but you think you might have hit the chicken with one of the gauntlets.
No, take that back.
It squawked loudly when you threw one of the gauntlets in.
Sorry, little buddy.
I'm sorry.
Wait,
he was rude to me.
Wait a second. Are you going to walk out there into the spikes and get the axe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you said it was safe.
Oh, yeah, we don't find any traps, so it's relatively safe.
Can I look at the corpse and kind of figure out how long it's been here?
Well, you don't know if magic was involved or not. But it looks like the skeleton has been here for a while. There's still bits of flesh stuck to it. The edges of it look like they've been chewed a little bit, so there might have been scavengers that came in here and were taking off parts, which would make it deteriorate faster.
Like squirrels.
Opportunistic carnivore. That could possibly work. It's possibly been a few years since it was there. For all you know, considering how dramatic Fred was when he appeared, he might have had it put there specifically just for the ambiance.
That was my first thought, but I wanted to double check. That was my first thought.
It is an authentic skeleton. He spared no expense.
Sure.
Fred, we like your party favors.
So are we going to go kill this idiot?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to pick up that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see
what the other door presents us with.
Okay. Okay. And I have a suggestion. We have been streaming for about an hour now. Do you want to take a short break and then continue?
Sure.
Yeah.
Tyler Brett, go ahead, Mike.
Hey, this is Crash jumping in at the halfway point again, just to give you a few notes that I didn't cover at the beginning of the episode. First of all, thank you for listening or watching or however you are consuming this media. If you are enjoying this series, this whole campaign of Circulus, why not share this with other people who you think will like it? I don't pay for any advertising for this, so people just find it through word of mouth. So things like iTunes reviews, because we are on iTunes, or linking to the podcast feed or the YouTube channel, or even liking our page on Facebook, and I'll have links to all that in the show notes. All that really helps us out. Maybe even watching us on Twitch when we're recording live, which I think is kind of fun that we're doing that now. So hopefully other people are going to enjoy that as well. And I already talked about the incentive for that, so I won't talk about that here. Also, really quick, because we sort of skipped past at the beginning, I do want to give shout-outs to my fantastic players who have websites outside of this whole Circulus thing. So, for example, Punk is on Twitter. His name on Twitter is Bolthra, B-O-L-T-H-R-A. Vex is Akari _MAG on Twitter, and he is also on the Azeroth Coast to Coast podcast, azerothctc.com. Meepo, played by Jen, she is on Twitter at slotownjen, and her website is bookofjen.net, and she's got blogs and podcasts there, so that's pretty cool. And Obame is Synergy, S-Y-N-R-G-Y, so there's no E in there, Synergy007 on Twitter, and his website VoteToKick.com. So, shoutouts out of the way. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. And let's get right back into the episode. Okay, we're back. So, you have gone through the spike room, and you get to the door, and it appears to be stuck.
Punk, buddy, break it down.
All right. Going to just start smashing at it with the can opener, then.
Okay, give me a roll.
Knock, knock. Is that a attack roll, or is that a... Am I rolling?
Give me an attack roll first.
Okay.
Because something different is going to happen if you crit, possibly.
Oh. Oh, my. 21.
You smack it with all your might, and the can opener bounces off.
Oh. Guys, I think it's magical. Which means I can huff and puff and do nothing all day. So.
Yeah, but it'll be funny to see.
He turns around and just gives Vex a look like, shut up.
Vex, you have a passive perception of 15, right?
I have a passive perception of 15, yes.
Does anyone have higher than that?
I'm a 14. I am probably the next closest. 15 also.
Wait, no. I have 11.
I have a higher passive investigation, but not a passive perception.
Okay. Vex, you notice that you can see the hinges for this door, which means it opens inward.
I can still turn the door smash it, though.
And open it.
It's stuck.
It's stuck. It's just inward. Somebody.
Give me a strength check.
Okay. This is not going to go well. One.
Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons, where the party has faced an ancient green dragon and survived, but they are defeated by a door.
Fenix.
Oh.
I love this game.
Fenix, come up here.
Would one of our really strong people pull this door rather than pushing it?
Oh, I'll pull this door.
Give me a strength check. Well, strength athletics. You can give me an athletics check if you wish.
Oh.
Oh, well, if it was athletics, then it was a five.
He's as good at that as I am at Arcana, check.
Yeah, a natural one, you aren't going to do anything no matter what your bonus is.
I can roll an athletics check.
Yeah, roll an athletics check. So give me a d20 and add your athletics.
Would a 24 work?
You swing that door open smoothly like the hinges have just been oiled yesterday.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome. Now where's my wagon?
On the other side of the door is a set of stairs that curve up around the outer wall of the tower.
Is there a railing at least?
Wait, they're on the outside of the tower?
No, it's... So there's the outer wall.
Oh, right. Okay, so they're set the staircase, on the inside of
the
outer wall.
And then there's an inner wall.
Got it.
But yes, there is a railing, and there's yellow painted at the edge of each step. And there's some non-skid surfaces on the steps. They have to be OSHA compliant. There's a time to watch your step.
Exactly. Who's leading?
I'll go first. I'm charging up.
You pass
shield out.
In the event of fire, use stairs.
I'm a shield out. Can opener ready to smack anything that comes near me.
Which, it's weird to have a sign that says in the event of fire, use stairs when the top of the tower is literally made of lava.
Now they had to appease the inspectors.
Well, yeah. OSHA regulations and all that.
Exactly.
Okay. So the stairs go up about a quarter way around the tower, you guess. It's hard to say. And you come to another door.
Can I check the hinges?
Sure. This one opens inwards.
Inwards.
See if it's locked or stuck.
Be my guest.
Check the traps on it first.
Yeah. I ain't touching it.
Ari's investigation roll is an 18 plus 7 for 25.
You find no traps.
Okay.
I will open the door.
You open the door. This one was not stuck. This room consists of a long, wide hallway that appears to stretch further than the tower is wide. The floor is covered with an alternating red and white tile pattern. On the far end of the hallway sits another door. And before you, Fred appears again. Ah, so you managed to solve my spike puzzle. No matter. The floor above is a much more fiendish set of traps. Your rogue hopefully made it through the first floor in one piece, or you'll find little hope for survival. Oh, and, sorry about this floor. You've caught me in the middle of retrofitting, so I walled off most of it while I move some things around and do some structural repairs. When it's done, it will be filled with devious obstacles that put the floor above to shame. Wait, no, that's a bad idea. Maybe I'll move the third floor stuff down here and then put this up there. Oh, but I hate moving the manticore cage around. He gets so excitable and the smell. But I needn't bother you with all of this. Onward, fools, to the third floor and your doom. Once again, Fred vanishes.
The way you described the room, like it was... Was it longer than the tower really is, or something like that, you said? Or
yeah,
wider
based,
than the tower?
Based
yeah.
on the curvature
mm-hmm.
Of the staircase and what you could see the tower on the outside,
mm-hmm.
this hallway should not be this long. The ground floor was 50 yeah. feet long. If you're eyeballing this, this is longer than 50 feet. It might be like 75.
So I'm thinking the whole thing in front of us is an illusion.
You can think that.
Well,
and
I'm
you said the, you
throwing
said the
it
tiles,
out there.
The tiles were red and white, but not in a pattern?
No, they're in a pattern.
They're in a pattern.
It's a tiled floor, and you know how some you can go places where the tiles would be like white tiles and black tiles on the floor just to mm-hmm. break the monotony of having it all be white tile?
Okay.
This floor, half the tiles are red.
Okay.
I think before we walk in, I think we definitely ought to make some perception checks or some investigation checks.
Yeah, I'll, can I?
Go ahead.
Anyone who wants to, give me an investigation check.
I have a 7.
17.
7.
12.
16.
I actually have a 7 plus 2.
I beat the profession guy, wow.
Yeah, shocked though. I rolled a 5.
It was a 2.
Okay. You see nothing out of the ordinary, other than the fact that this hallway is way longer than it should be.
Can I cast Detect Magic?
You can cast at whatever you want.
Okay, I want to cast Detect Magic. So, I think I roll something. I don't know. I've never done this.
You don't have to roll anything. The entire tower is magical.
Okay, great. There is magic here.
There is magic here. If you wait about a minute, I think, you can learn... Uh-huh. If you can then make an arcana roll to see what auras individually are present.
Yeah.
I okay. Wait. Okay, so I cast Detect Magic and I wait a minute.
And
then...
everyone just twiddles their thumbs in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Important lesson for Meepo.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. you'd be like, nothing happened, you know?
Okay. Give me an arcana check.
Okay. So, okay. So I roll 20. And got 10 plus arcana is plus 5.
Okay. So 15. There's definitely some illusionary magic that is spread throughout this tower. You can't pin it down to one exact spot. There's some conjuration magic going on in here, and there's some other stuff that you can't really tell for sure. It might be too far away for you to get a bead on it, but there's various schools of magic mixing together in here.
Okay. Is there a door on the other end?
Yes.
There is.
Okay. So, the pattern on the floor, is it more like a checkerboard?
Yes, it's a checkerboard
pattern.
Okay. If any of you brought some chess pieces, you could have a game.
Is there anything in the room, like a table or chairs no. or anything near us? All right. Because what I'm thinking about doing is trying to throw something into the room to test its depth.
Okay.
Or
can
lack of
floor. Can I get an arrow to throw?
Yeah, something. shoot an arrow in or something. I'm just hesitant to go in there yet.
Okay, where do you shoot the arrow at? Where
I would say towards the end of the room we have to go through, if that makes sense.
Yeah, towards where the door is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I
won't even make you roll because you're literally shooting at a door. It's quite large. You hit it. There's a noticeable thunk sound.
I don't know why it's the depth thing with the room is bothering me.
It turns out the door was a mimic, and it does not understand how you managed to see through its clever disguise.
No, does someone have something we can roll across the floor?
Yeah.
I have a rock for my slingshot.
There you go.
Is it smooth enough to like roll?
Maybe I can fix enough to roll.
You can press digitate it to make it smooth enough.
Yeah. Heck, okay, so I have a rock. Marble
if you wanted to.
Okay, can I? Oh.
One marble?
Yeah, you can press digitate one marble. That would work.
Okay. I'm gonna make this rock look like a marble. Or just make a marble, right?
Yeah,
and then roll it
with prestidigitation. Yeah.
Oh,
they don't last very long, but you can make it. So you can make any small object.
And then just roll it across to the door.
Yeah. Okay, so sit down on the floor, and I wind up, and I roll the marble as far as it's going to go.
Okay. It hits the door and bounces off.
Yay!
That's about the only tests I can think of. I don't know why. It's just something about it bothers me. So.
I like these tiles. I want to bounce across the white ones.
Yeah.
You want to bounce across the white ones?
I want to bounce across the white ones because the red ones are locked. Of course.
Ah, okay. Well, give me a dexterity check to see if you can keep your feet off of the red ones.
Okay. I rolled a 10 plus 1.
Okay. So there's a few spots where a toe touches a red tile, or maybe your heel touches the red tile, but you pretend you didn't.
Of course.
If you don't admit that you touched it, then you didn't touch it, and you're still winning your game. And at this point, you're about halfway across.
Okay. Well, aren't you guys going to play too? Come on.
Punk will follow. Is it like essentially hopscotch?
Yeah.
You can have it be hopscotch if you want. By the way, Meepo, give me...
Uh-huh.
A perception check.
Okay. Meepo has a 1. She's very involved in her game.
This does not surprise anyone at all.
Yes.
I love this game so much. Thank you for making my Saturdays awesome, all of you. Okay. So, Punk, how are you going to walk across the room?
I'm going to follow her path.
Then give me a dexterity check.
All right. Let's see. He gets a plus 6. No. He gets a plus 2. Okay. Or could I use athletics? No, just teasing. So, 18.
Actually, sure, you could use athletics if you wanted to.
Oh, 18? Athletics? I already rolled.
18 is great. There's one spot where you do a bit of a cartwheel just to show off. but you were able to only touch the white tiles, and now you're sitting next to Meepo halfway across the room.
Okay.
The room is long enough that I'm not going to let one roll be for the entire length.
Right.
But I want you to also give me a perception check.
Okay. This is probably where he rolls the 3. Let's see. 8.
You're impressed that you were able to go across this room as well as Meepo.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't touch any of the red tiles from what you saw.
Smart thinking, Meepo.
I'll follow the same path.
Give me a dexterity check or acrobatics. Dexterity or acrobatics.
Sure. Both are plus 3. 19.
You're fine. You're halfway across the room. Give me a perception check.
Natural 20.
You feel like you're a lot taller than you should be. That or the room shrank.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And as you look down, you realize the tiles aren't really squares. The walls are not actually parallel to each other.
I stop with the hopscotch and just walk along.
Okay. Floor falls out from underneath you.
Yay!
Give me a dex save.
Here's where the spikes come into play.
24.
Okay, so the good news is you missed the spikes.
Bad news. Fall.
You do take falling damage. Additional good news is I rolled 3 points of damage for you. So you land flat on your face, and you look up into the eye sockets of the skeleton that you saw downstairs. Because you are downstairs. And the floor that you fell through just goes and closes right back up.
I'm going to kill that mage.
I have a feeling he's not really alive.
Oh, no, I'm on the floor below you. I just say that out loud.
Yeah, I know.
And I get up.
From underneath, you hear...
Right, so I guess we'll wait here for him to respawn and come back upstairs.
I get up.
Now, what do the rest of us see that have still not crossed the room?
You saw the first half of the tile floor, nothing happened. When Vex looked around, he got an expression that you've seen many times before where he's just done with stuff. And started walking normally down the hallway towards the door on the far end. And he took a couple steps and the tiles opened up underneath him and he fell.
All of the tiles did?
The tiles underneath him.
Underneath him. I got it. Meepo and Punk, however, the tiles did not open. Nothing changed where they were.
They weren't continuing to walk forward.
Right.
They were fine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we were staying where we were.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, then Ari will attempt to follow Meepo and Punk and try to join them.
Okay, are you going to only step on certain tiles or no?
I will follow their path.
Okay, then that will be...
With the white tiles, I believe. A dexterity check. They're the same for me as they are for Vex. So I rolled a 15, that goes to an 18.
You pirouette at one point. You're doing great.
All right. I also get to make a perception check from where they are.
Sure.
Okay, I'm actually not bad at perception. There's a crit. 24.
Okay, you notice the same thing that Vex noticed. This room is not using illusionary magic. It's just a trick of how it was constructed. The walls are not parallel. They're closer together on one side than the other, and the tiles aren't actually squares. So it creates the optical illusion of forced perspective.
That's what I was
saying. One end is smaller than the other end, so you feel like you're getting larger as you get closer.
Have I caught them up again yet?
Can I use this? Yeah, you're fine. Somehow,
at the time you got back upstairs, you saw Ari doing a pirouette and then jumping to be right next to Meepo.
Meepo and Punk are both small creatures, so they may not have much of an issue as they navigate closer to the door. However, us medium-sized folk and Fenix, who borders on the large quantity,
and the puppy shoes.
The puppies, small or medium?
Medium.
Okay.
I'm picturing kind of an Alice in Wonderland thing here.
Yeah, ditto.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That works
same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
So Ari's just going to keep quiet for now about this, but trying to remember that the room isn't shrinking, it's just the way it looks, the way it's built. Or is there enough room, like, are we all standing in the same, like, adjacent tiles, or what? Is there enough room for everybody to be?
The tiles at the start of this are about 2 feet wide, each tile. And where you are at the halfway point, each tile is maybe about a foot wide.
Okay. So step carefully, everyone.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Fenix. I'll follow behind. Make sure nobody gets any major damage on them.
And at worst, Fenix can carry me.
I'm going to walk straight across.
Straight across. You walk right up to Tom. Nothing happens. Sorry, you walk right up to Punk. There is no Tom. There's only Punk.
Mr. Fenix, you're supposed to stay on the white one. The red one.
He's standing right on a red one as you're saying this.
At least we looked good doing it.
Yep.
You did. You looked incredible doing it.
Well, I like the game, so I'm going to go ahead and try the game as well.
Okay.
15.
Okay. You do a great job. You are very nimble for a dwarf.
Anybody have any damage on him?
Nope.
Nothing is nope. Nothing
I only have nature. I only have 3 hits on Mansell.
You're fine. All right.
And Vex took 3 points of damage also, so he's going to be fine too. Now, Vex, you try to walk over to them again, because you're still back at the door.
I know. So, Shepard. Yep, Shepard and I will follow over, not following the white ones until we get to them, and then we'll figure out what we're doing.
I'm wondering if this is a weight thing, once you get past a certain...
Yeah, that's why I don't want to. I'm curious to see Punk and Meepo and what happens with them.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to wait too long. Let's proceed across the floor. Okay.
So, Vex, how do you get to the halfway point?
We walk.
You just walk straight across?
Yes, I just saw Phoenix do it.
Okay, so you do that and you're fine. Everyone's at the halfway point.
Yay! Let's do the rest.
Go for it, Meepo. Okay.
Be careful, everyone. The room is not as it appears to be.
Oh, yeah. I saw.
Meepo, lead the way.
Okay. So I start trying again. Do I need to roll again?
Yes, you'll need to roll a second check for this.
Okay.
It's a shorter distance, but the tiles are getting progressively smaller, so I'm going to say it's the same difficulty level.
Okay, so it's a dexterity, right?
If you have acrobatics, you can do that if your acrobatics is higher.
They're both a plus one. Okay, no matter which, I guess. And I rolled a 10.
Give me a dexterity save now.
Okay. So I roll the d20 again. Is that right?
Yep. Roll the d20 again.
Okay. Got 17.
17 on the die.
Yeah, 17 on the die. 18. And...
Okay, so you miss a spike.
Oh.
And you take 8 points of damage from falling. But no, well, unless...
The Featherfall hat.
Okay, do you want to use a charge of that?
Yep.
Okay, so you take no damage. You just sort of gently fall down, gliding. and then you go right back up the stairs and you join everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was fun. That was fun.
Okay.
yeah, real fun.
I tried to bounce back over to where I was.
Vex, with your passive perception, I'm going to say you notice that Meepo's touched a red tile.
God damn it, she was right.
I told you. That's how you play.
Well, there's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, okay. Those are good odds.
The red's always lost.
Can I cast Speak with Animal?
Sure.
Because Shepard won't understand me really otherwise.
Yep.
Yet. We'll get there when I get high enough. Buddy?
Yeah?
You need to stand on the white tiles. Not the... Oh, you're colorblind. Oh, no.
Really?
Which ones are red? You know, I'm going to give you a freebie here. Yes, dogs are essentially colorblind. They can see some colors and not others, but they definitely can tell value how light or dark something is. And the red tiles are darker than the white ones.
You need to stand on the light tiles, not the dark ones, okay?
Okay. He looks just down and immediately panics. The light ones.
I know, honey.
Sorry. Which for the rest of you sounds like yelping.
No, I just gonna scratch under his chin, little pup. You got this.
Question for you. From where Ponk is there anything that looks almost like a ledge or like a safe spot in front of the door?
Well, the tiles don't go all the way to the door. There's about 2 feet of space. You're guessing. Okay. Perspective is weird.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Would it be possible for Punk to try to leap from where he is to try to get to that, like what I'm thinking of as like a ledge or a safe spot in front of the door?
With this force perspective, you have no idea.
You could get Bannix to fastball special you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. See if somebody can just like throw me over there and maybe I can use like my athletics to try to, you know, try to make sure I can reach up and like grab the door handle.
If you want, you're a wagon.
If you want, I can try and make my way over and try and grab you, if just in case.
Yeah.
At least you've got something on both sides.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if somebody can like toss me over to there, and I am agreeing to this, to try to get over to that door.
Wait a minute. What about like tying some rope to you or something?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then at least we've got an extra backup at that point.
See, that's the non-lethal part.
So, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to make my way over first, standing on the white tails only.
Okay. Athletics, or dexterity?
For me, athletics.
18.
No, athletics.
Okay.
18 is good enough. Now, towards the end, you are actually standing on tiptoe for some of these tiles because they're too small for you to put your entire foot on. But you do make it. You kind of thought it might have been a 2 foot space where there were no tiles in front of the door, but it's actually more about a foot. But you've made it all the way across.
I want to try to open the door.
Taya, no, I'm over there. You're not.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, he threw me.
No, he tried to go over. I was getting over first, and then
Vex rolled a dexterity check. So,
right. So we're going to toss him a rope.
Then we're going to toss you with the rope.
Oh, no, what I was saying is throw me across.
Come at me.
If anyone's going to throw you, it would probably have to be Fenix.
Yeah. That's what we're saying. Fenix throws you, but at least I'm on the other side to
catch you.
I don't need to be worried about getting caught. I can do it myself.
Well, if
you bounce off the wall, you're going to land on the tiles.
Right,
and
tie a rope to him so that if he falls through, somebody holds onto that rope so it doesn't land hard on the ground and take falling damage.
You guys are ruining the epic moment.
So now we've got two backups.
Yeah, I was going to say, you completely screwed up my plan. So,
yeah,
all right, whatever. He's over there. That's fine.
So okay, are we going to do the rope thing? Or are we just going to toss him and hope Vex catches him?
I think the rope thing's still a good idea.
I do, too.
All right, then.
So we'll tie off a little section of rope, and Fenix will be in the Olympic event of gnome tossing.
Yeah.
Okay, Fenix, give me an athletics check.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to go ahead and cast Guidance on Fenix, too, which gives you an extra d4 of
So roll check. A d20 and a d4, and then add your athletics.
Oh, I already got 26.
Okay. Vex, give me an athletics check to see if you drop the gnome.
Okay. That is a 19.
You do not drop the gnome. You are holding him like a little baby.
Hi.
All right. We are opening the door. All right. So now what are we going to do? We're going to tie the rope.
Or throw the rope. Now there's two of us that can hold the rope.
All right.
So,
All right.
And you can open the door. There's a stairwell on the other side, just like
that. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is let's open the door so we have more space.
Yeah, yeah. Check the hinges.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Every door you've seen so far, except for the front doors, opens inward to the center of the tower. So if you're in the stairwell, it opens away from you. If you're not on the stairwell, it opens towards you.
I open the door.
Okay.
All right, so now we have...
A little more room. Okay. You guys start heading over. White tiles only.
Yes.
Okay.
And hold on to the rope, because, yeah.
Yeah, me and him, I'll hold the rope.
With the assistance of the rope, I'm going to let everyone who does a dex check now do it with advantage.
All right. Okay. Ari will then go.
Although, Ari, at this point, I am going to say you're not rolling with advantage because you still have the swear jar icon, so you can have that go away.
All right.
By rolling normally.
Well, I rolled normal and got a 17 on the die.
That is enough.
Yeah. That gives him a 20 acrobatics total.
Yay.
I got a 19 on the die.
I rolled a 12 dexterity.
A 12? No, that's your highest of two rolls?
Oh, not of two. No.
Shepard got a 20.
The second roll's a 1, so yes, that would be.
Okay, so right give there. Me another dex save.
Okay. That's a roll of 20, right?
Yeah. Okay. And add 1 to it.
That one's a 4 plus 1 is 5. Okay. Maybe she can't reach the rope.
Yeah. Possibly. So I'm going to say you use your second of three charges for your umbrella hat.
To float down the tower again.
But okay. You are unable to avoid a spike, so you do take a point of damage from it.
Okay.
Because you're sort of just gliding down. You're like, no, spike bad. And you're trying to put yourself away.
But not the tree, not the tree!
The top of the spike as you try to push yourself away. You have an owie.
Yeah.
But you can do another go of it.
Okay. Try again. Do I roll again?
Yes.
Yeah?
With advantage, because this time I'll lower the rope for you.
Okay. Can hang on to the rope this time. I've rolled a 1 again. But yeah, I can roll twice. Yeah. Okay, now I have that. That's a 4. Maple's getting tired.
Can you just mage hand pick her up?
She's too heavy.
Maple, tie the rope around your waist.
This time, when you fail the rope, you're holding on to the rope still, so you're sort of hanging there over the floor opens up and it closes again.
Also going to give you an ability check with guidance.
Hold on. The floor closed with the rope?
Well, hold on. Was there anyone left that wasn't by the door? Meepo the last one going across.
Me and Fennec.
I think. Oh.
Okay. So Meepo was holding on to the rope. So the floor opened up when she touched the tile, but she was still hanging by the rope because she's lighting up the people on both ends were able to hold the rope up. So the floor opened up, but it closed again. She's still partway across.
Okay.
Can I climb across on the rope?
You can try.
It'll still be okay. Let's try that. Okay, this is a 4 again. What's wrong with the dice today? And that is a 10 dice.
Do 4 also. 4 additional.
And then the 1 dexterity. Where are we at now?
You know what? Eventually you make it across. The floor opens up several times underneath you, but you're always holding onto the rope.
Okay.
The harder thing is going to be Fenix and Obeim getting across.
Right.
Mostly me.
All right, you go first, because I'm going to run. I don't know.
If you run, you should fall.
Go first.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to cast Guidance on me.
That's a lovely cantrip.
I see an 18 in Discord. Congratulations, sir. You have made it across.
Thank you.
Yay.
Fenix, everyone's waiting for you to break on through to the other side.
Okay.
You are horrible. Horrible.
You, Logan.
The roll of dex or athletics?
Acrobatics.
Acrobatics. Okay, well, then they're both zero, so.
Just roll it, and you get a
d4.
Ouch.
Just say what it was.
20.
Okay, so everyone else is just barely getting across, having trouble, and you do a handstand and walk across upside down. Towards the end,
this was hard?
You're on your fingertips. Because the tiles are so small, your feet wouldn't have been able to fit on them.
Oh, sorry, my laptop just fell.
Oh, the jar comes out again.
My TV tray collapsed and my laptop just fell on the ground.
Oh, no.
Is the laptop okay?
Looks like it. No damage to the screen. And we're still online. So, yes, we're good.
Okay. The last time I dropped a laptop that amount of distance, it fell off of the side of a couch onto a carpeted floor, and I snapped the motherboard in half.
I managed to grab the tray enough that I think I slowed the fall.
You are quite fortunate, sir.
Yes.
But the floor's okay?
Yeah, the floor's fine.
You rolled a critical 20 and managed to get it unbroken.
Okay, so the problem here is Fenix just gained 25 ego points. Because he didn't just cross the hallway, he did it in style. Congratulations, you have defeated my spike trap.
Yay. All right.
Okay. Would you like to try the next floor?
Of course. What's behind door number two, Monty?
A bunch of wagons. We got to smash them all.
So there's a staircase going up.
The staircase goes up again.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go walking up the stairs.
Okay. And that door opens just like the others have opened. However, this one opens into, you enter what appears to be an area just off stage of a large performance hall with the door to the next level visible on the other side of the stage. Shadowy figures appear to be seated, forming a large audience. Next to you are several open boxes filled with musical instruments, hats, outfits, and various props. Rather than monologuing at you, Fred is on stage, literally in the spotlight, as he performs what appears to be an interpretive dance. Fred nails it, in fact, and the crowd applauds. Several roses are thrown onto the stage as he bows deeply, turns his head slightly, smirks in your direction, and then vanishes.
That's a little weird.
What kind of costume is going to take? Can I walk up towards the box? And
sure, you're right next to the box.
Okay, what kind of costumes are in there?
All kinds. Most of them are like incredibly loose fitting. Velcro doesn't exist really, but if it did, they'd be things where you just Velcro them in the back to hold them together. Various color shirts, some robes. It's all very thin fabric or possibly burlap in some cases. Some of them are stitched up to look like armor, but none of it would survive combat very well.
And there's a spotlight on the stage.
The spotlight has vanished.
Okay. So we would have to cross the stage to get to the door, or am I...
You're going to have to find some way to get across that stage, yes.
Because I'm thinking there's something with the costumes and the stage. So Punk will try to put on some kind of costume that will fit him and not impede his dexterity.
pretty much any of the tops will fit you just fine. Mm-hmm. It'll come down to your knees in most cases, but like you're not going to put on the costume pants, and you're not going to wear any of the robes.
And he'll put on the silliest looking hat he can find.
Meepo, do you want him to take your umbrella hat?
Huh?
Sorry, what? I meant in the boxes.
Oh, you meant the silliest hat you can find in the boxes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh no.
Okay.
That would be the silliest hat, though.
You find a hat with three brims, none of which appears to be functional for actually blocking the sun.
All right, he'll wear that. And then I encourage the rest of the party to find a costume. And hopefully there's something that'll fit Fenix.
Yeah, I look for
I want to find a sparkly one.
I am a
you
costume.
Find one that is covered in sequins and glitter.
What color?
Yes.
Yay! That one.
Red and yellow and pink and green.
You find an amazing Technicolor dream coat.
Sparkly costume. Okay.
Do you want the tights that go with it?
Uh-huh.
Although you have a tail, so it's kind of difficult for you to put it on properly.
Well, I'll wear them as a scarf instead.
Okay.
All right. And then so Punk is going to make his way out onto the stage.
Okay. So how do you cross the stage? Wrong.
As quickly as possible.
Okay. So you just walk your way across the stage. Halfway across the stage, the spotlight comes on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Keep moving.
Okay. As you exit the spotlight, the crowd begins to boo.
And Punk just leans his head out like a supervillain and just kind of smiles and just kind of leans back.
Give me a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. 4.
Okay. You are hit with dissonant whispers. You take 9 points of psychic damage. And wonderful. You feel compelled to go back the way you came.
So I guess I'm back in the spotlight.
No, you are back
on the other side.
Backstage with the rest of the party.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that. So.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Apparently you have to do a little song and dance for the people. Unless you choose to ignore them.
I can do a dance. I bet the costume will spark.
Oh, I'm going to flex all over these guys.
Then Fenix, be my guest and go first.
Okay, who's going first?
Fenix.
Okay, give me a performance check.
Oh, I got plus 1. That is an 18.
The crowd goes wild. They are clapping. They are applauding. There's whistles.
I flex.
They applaud more. They are loving this. They are on board with this 100%.
Well, hopefully he can make it to the other side.
I'm not sure he's going to want to.
Yeah. Okay, Fenix. Come on, keep moving.
I do push-ups.
Oh, jeez. All right, Punk makes his way out there.
There are people standing in the aisles.
Punk makes his way out there, and he's going to do a stand-up act.
Oh, no.
Give me a performance check.
All right. Hello, ladies and germs. 20.
You're pretty sure that they had to call a paramedic for one of the shadowy figures because they died laughing.
Good.
I do push-ups with one hand.
And then he walks to the other side of the stage.
You make it there safely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll move over there as well.
Next is going to go out with Shepard.
Okay.
And Shepard's going to do some tricks with Vex and, you know, the human kind of dog duo act.
Then you're both going to need to give me performance checks.
Sure. Stupid human tricks.
Vex, Shepard is able to get Vex to sit and roll over and fetch.
I rolled a 16 for myself and a 15 for Shepard.
Even though you rolled lower for Shepard, the crowd loves Shepard more.
Not shocked by this.
Because he's adorable.
This is true. To quote a very wise raccoon, that is also true.
Thank you.
And we head over to the door.
My turn. Maple runs on the stage and does a little dance with lots of sparklies. Can sparkle a lot.
Okay, performance check.
Okay. 20 plus performance 3.
Well, with a natural 20, the audience is blinded. It might actually be because the spotlight reflected off of the sequins in your outfit and literally blinded them. But they are incredibly impressed. They're throwing roses at you.
Yay! I pick up a couple of roses and
they're illusionary.
Oh, so?
Oh, bang. Everyone hates them.
We'll get you some roses later. Don't worry.
Okay. And I go across to where everybody else is on the other side.
Oh, babe, don't roll a 1.
Oh, this is going to be horrible. All right, hold on.
She's going to step out there and, hi, everyone. So, how about that local sports team?
Yeah. Dwarves aren't known for their senses of humor.
I want to do something with radiant magic. There we go.
So, what kind of spell are you casting?
Cast light or something.
Do the sparkly one. Do the sparkly
make everything
one.
Bright.
Just sing Blinded by the Light.
We're going to do Guided Bolt. Do you want me to do a performance? Do you want me to go ahead and do another
check? It's got to be a performance check, but if you're using one of your spell slots, I would say that you get to roll at advantage.
Alright,
stand by. What are you casting Guiding Bolt on?
If there's a roof.
It's shadowy up there, but you think so there's
something
a roof.
Up there, yeah.
Attacking the darkness.
The Guiding Bolt shoots back and hits Soban.
18.
You have a standing ovation. It might like be because some of them are getting their coats to leave. because I do believe you are the last act of the evening.
Ari hasn't gone yet.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, you're the last act. That's the toughest one.
Yep.
And you're going to have to roll disadvantage.
Oh, no.
He already has disadvantage.
Yeah, but that's just it. That's why he's rolling with disadvantage.
So Ari will come out and attempt to do similar stand-up routine or a stand-up routine.
He prestidigitates. Is this your card?
Yes.
it's their credit card.
Yeah. All right, so disadvantage, I have the 2, which will go to a 4 with his old plus 2 performance.
I'm going to say give me a wisdom save.
Fortunately, that's one I'm good at. So that's a 11 plus 4 for 15.
Okay, let me check this in at Whispers real quick. Unsuccessful save, the target takes half as much damage and doesn't have to move away. So you are going to take, rounding down, you take 2 points of damage. And you feel like okay. You're a little cowed by all the booing, but you feel you can safely walk towards your party as opposed to back to the other side.
Then I will run towards my party.
I've seen pieces of wood that done better than you.
That's okay. I did my job.
Didn't die. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You have solved my stage fright trap.
All right.
Okay, and at this point it is 9:30. We have been streaming for 2 hours. So I would suggest that we put a pin on this for now, and we start back up next week.
Okay.
Very good.
Good stopping point.
Please be wagon.
So Meepo got to play hopscotch, and then she got to play dress up. So she's having a great time.
Yes.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. Bookofjen.net.